This is the first Shir, Ladies Shir Berach Hashem. It's Sunday, Hey Elul, 27th of August. And it's the first Shir in Berach Hashem. So the first lesson is that philosophy trumps Musa.
But in this Hashem, we're going to learn Hashem, which is Hashem, but I will try to make it practical to this universe, but it's always a Rebbeim, even Rabbi Khan, who taught me Tanya, Tos Tanya was in a Shir of Tanya, but even when he finished the most esoteric ideas and deep understanding of reality and boundness, but he always turned around and said, so what does this mean to us and why do we have to do and act differently because of that? So I will attempt to do this also. I'll do my best. Because just to learn nice ideas and work out, you know, the feeling that we really understand what Paul's talking about and not translate into a course of action is not such a thing. Certainly not for women. By that I meant that men have a mitzvah chamora. So even if it doesn't translate into, it should open to action. But even if it doesn't, but they're learning the subject matter, so they're learning Torah. And, okay, enough said. Let me. Okay, I have to erase that. Now you have something to erase. Okay. So we're learning the Sefer Derech Hashem. The Ramchal named it Derech Hashem. Ramchal is Moichan Yotzato. He was born in the early 1700s, Italy, and died relatively young, later in his life, died in a plague. But in the meantime, between his birth and death, he wrote numerous Sfarim. He was obviously a genius, both in Nigla, the Gemara, Tanakh, Gemara, Shmaias, Rishonim. It's obvious from his writings that he knew, I don't say Kol HaTorah Kulos, I never gave him a test, but he knew Nigla, and then he learned Torah Sanistar. He is the Maral, who lived a few hundred years before him, is our connection to Torah Sanistar. Maral sort of makes Nistar into Nigla. We all like Ramaral, we like Ramosha Shapiro Zatzal, we like Rafutna Zatzal, we like all those who brought the Maral into the everyday world of our understanding of Yom Tovim, our understanding of various Akados Chazal. But then the Maral really was dormant for a few hundred years after his lifetime. The Ramchal, who lived around the time of the Gra, but before the Gra, they exploded onto the scene and really brought his Kabbalistic works, and he brought it into the world of understanding. He systematically categorized Kabbalistic thought. And Ramchal, a major figure, a little controversial in his lifetime, because he followed upon the heels of the Shamsi Tzvi travesty. So one comes and starts talking Kabbalah and starts talking about how Malachim appeared to him and Eliyahu HaNavi appeared to him and the Magid appeared to him, some sort of Malach and this Malach, and he describes this in letters to his Rebbeim, how he had revelations from Malachim. So you can imagine he was viewed with suspicion by many, because Shamsi Tzvi had just led the Jewish people into a trauma from which in my opinion, I don't know, I'm not really a historian, you have to check with the rewind, but we haven't recovered from that trauma yet. From Klal Yisrael isn't as excited about our return to Eretz Yisrael and the Six Day War as we should be is probably because of the trauma of Shamsi Tzvi. While you see from the story of Shamsi Tzvi that people were ready to accept a Mashiach without open miracles, without Eliyahu HaNavi blowing a shofar, and they're ready to accept it as a natural historical process, but you see now we move so far away because of that trauma, that even if all the simonim that Chazal said is leading to Mashiach and is reclaiming Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is the infrastructure of Eretz Yisrael, and half the Jews in the world live here already, right after a Holocaust. But I, you know, it's like the trauma of Shamsi Tzvi says, you know, if we don't see Mashiach, and the guy doesn't introduce himself as Mashiach, and Eliyahu HaNavi riding on a white donkey and that, so then we're not going to go for it. We just maybe just as well, because if the overwhelming majority of Klal Yisrael is not from, so maybe it's just as well. So that's why, like, happened nobody, Tcheles, it's all the trauma of Shamsi Tzvi, in my opinion. Till we see Mashiach, till he greets us, till he takes a lie detector test, and we have a handwriting analysis. Nothing. Even though in front of our eyes, the Gemara says the most clear proof of Mashiach's coming is when Eretz Israel will become fruitful again. It won't be a midbar again. It won't be a desolate wasteland. It will give forth fruit, which looks like in front of our eyes it's happening. Not to mention cell phones and waves. But that's what it is. So he followed right after Shamsi Tzvi. And he's talking about Malachim appearing to him. And probably what saved, and a lot of his farm were burnt. And probably what saved him for posterity is the Gro, stamp of approval. When the Gro, after his death, the Gro said, famously said that if he was alive today, the Gro would trek from Vilna to Italy to sit at his feet and learn from him. And the Gro is very okay. The Gro obviously knew, learned Kabbalah also, and knew Kabbalah, and he gave him the stamp of approval. What we walk away with from the Ramchal, again, he lived in the 1700s, died before the Gro became famous. We walk away with three svarim of his that are the most famous. He wrote many, many, many svarim, but we walk away with three famous svarim: Mesillas Yesharim, Derech Hashem, and Das Tvunos. And to a discerning eye, someone who wants to delve into it very deeply, which we will not do because I'm teaching the class, and it's really the same principles, except in a much deeper, more Kabbalistic, more esoteric fashion. When I say that, so we'll say, the Seel Sisharim, the Ramchal was very rationalist and said you have to figure everything out, you have to contemplate things, you have to think about things, you have to figure them out, you have to understand them. And that's his mahalach in understanding much of Yiddishkeit. He says in Das Tvunos starts off that I understand 9 of the 13 animabins. I really get them. But 4 of them I don't get. That's how he starts. That's what the Sefer Das Tvunos is. I believe them, because I'm a firm Jew. And certainly I believe that, but I don't really understand it. I don't get it. It doesn't sit well with me. I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't see how we're getting there. And he lists before, this has to do with Sechar V'Onesh, Mashiach's coming, and that's Tvunos is really the rational explanation of the 4 animamins, of the 13 animamins of the Rambam, that he didn't get. That's how he starts off the Sefer. And this Sefer was written to rationally explain all these troubling inyanim that he didn't get about. So, but that was his purpose. You have to understand the Yodaka Hayom, and as we'll see when we start Derech Hashem. So, but the Mesillas Yesharim is every man's Sefer, meaning it's a Sefer which lays out a path for everyone's spiritual growth. Whether we call it Musar is not important, but it tells a person this is how you progress along the path of cleaving to Hashem. The Hakdama and Perek Aleph puts down the principles that he develops more in Derech Hashem, and that he develops even more in Das Tvunos. that the purpose of life is to cling to Hashem, to bond with Hashem. That's what we're headed for. That's what we're supposed to be doing with our lives. We're supposed to be as spiritual as we can and thus bond to Hashem, because that will give us the ultimate pleasure in Olam Haba, which is this world is unfortunately, well, I don't know, maybe fortunately, this world is very short. Even if you live a very long time, it's a blink of an eye, as we'll be saying on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? Kitzitz Novel, Ka'of Poreach, Kitzel Over, V'chachalom Ya'uf. It's over before you know about it. It's finished. How long can a person live? 120? Okay. What's that compared to eternity? We can't. We cringe when we think of eternity. Our minds don't grasp the concept of infinity, of eternity. We don't even understand it, and we certainly don't understand being spiritual beings and not physical beings. So that Mesil Sashan lays out the program, Zahirus, Cerizus, Akiyas, Precious, like the whole list of things from the Gemara, how to develop personally. It's a program for development. That's the most popular sefer of his, because it's very hands-on, and it talks to a Jew, and it says what to do, and it takes him by the hand, and it's a ladder, and first step, second step, third step, fourth step. The Hagdama of the Maseil Sisharim talks about the need to use that bump on your shoulders, to use your head, and to think about things, and not just to live by rote, not just to follow the herd, not just to live by rote, but to think and to contemplate and to understand what you're doing. That's the Hagdama. And Perek Aleph is the Rekha of the Sefer Maseil Sisharim, meaning what is all this for? What is all this about? So Perek Aleph says the point is to bond with Hashem and to be spiritual and lasid lavo, that's all that there will be, and we'll live for eternity. And the purpose is Lonivra Adam El Lehisanag Al Hashem, to have the ultimate pleasure, the supreme pleasure. All the pleasures of this world don't come close to the pleasures of Olam Haba. We don't grasp what it is really. We just know it says in Pirkei Avos, right? Yofek Koras Ruach. Sha'achas shel koras ruach olam hazeh mikol chayei olam hazeh, means all the pleasures of this world. That's Perek Aleph of Maseil Sisharim. And then he talks practically. Okay, do this, do this, do this, think about this, and that's the sefer. Derech Hashem really is an expansion and an elaboration on Perek Aleph. And nobody says this, and it's not exactly true what I'm saying, but by and large, it's an expansion upon Perek Aleph of the Maseil Sisharim. Meaning, Derech Hashem talks about what is this all about? Why did Hashem create the world? Why did Hashem create you? Why did Hashem create me? What happened exactly in Adam HaRishon? What was Hashem's game plan? And Adam HaRishon ruined the game plan. And why do we have Shabbos? And why do we have Yom Tov? And what the deeper meaning of everything we do? And when you learn Derech Hashem, even if you don't, I will try to, but even if we don't translate it into our everyday lives, but it certainly gives depth to everything we do. I make a bracha before I drink a glass of water. Okay, it's my ticket to drink the glass of water. I gotta pay the toll, I gotta make a bracha. And if I learn halacha, I'll have to figure out which bracha. You learn Derech Hashem and all of a sudden it hit, you know what you're doing when you're making a bracha? Hashem is this, and this is what Hashem wants the world to accomplish, to recognize he's the Melech, and when you do an Aveira, it's not just, okay, I did an Aveira, I'll have to suffer for it. No, you ruined Hashem's plan for the whole world. Learning Derech Hashem should make a person feel like a shutuf with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the running of the world. That's the purpose of Hashem's creation of the world, is you and you and you and me and everyone doing certain things to advance the point of the world. And I would say, when I say the world, I don't mean the earth spinning in space. We mean existence, everything. Everything that Hashem created, everything. Right? In the beginning, there was nothing but Hashem. So Hashem created everything. The Bria, existence itself, the universe, to all the universes, everything. Hashem created everything, and there's a purpose for it, and it gives gravitas, I think the word is, to everything we do. Nothing is stop. Shofar is not stop. Yontif is not stop. Everything has its place in the universe. Everything is a peg in the construction of what the world is supposed to be leading to. And he explains everything. And this is the Sefer. The Sefer is split up into four parts. The first part is really a description of Hashem and a description of the purpose of creation, the purpose of the creating of man, what our responsibility is, and what it means to be Ruchni and not Gashmi. The second section talks about Hashgacha, Hashgacha Pratis, Schar V'Onesh, where does Mazel come in, where do the Mazalos come in, and he gets into Hashgacha Pratis in the second section. In the third section he talks about the Neshama, he focuses on more Nevuah, communing with Hashem, and the fourth section is, so to speak, the most practical one, where he talks about what is Shabbos supposed to, what are the mitzvahs supposed to accomplish in the grand scheme of things. So it gives, like, you feel like, whoa, I'm really, I'm not just living and I'm not just doing mitzvahs for my own personal satisfaction and I want to get all of my book. You're building a universe of the Ratzon Hashem, and you're doing what Hashem tasked you with doing in order to bring about the ultimate purpose of the whole ball of wax, of the whole of creation. And it's scary, and it's inspiring. It depends how you take it. It's very heavy, very heavy. And everything is so structured. It's like a physicist. Everything is structured. The whole Ruchniistic world is structured. It's cause and effect. It's a problem. This is how you solve the problem. And this is what Hashem wants. And it's really Hashem. It's Derech Hashem. It's Hashem's plan. Hashem's plan and what Hashem wants for this world. And this is the way Hashem wants the world to function. The first part, which we'll be learning first, the first part, is the more... It's on the philosophical side, because he talks about the nature of Hashem and the nature of a person and why Hashem created a person and other Marishon and like how he messed up, what he did wrong and what happened because he did the Chet. And what does Misa represent? You know, in our world, Misa was the Onesh for the Marishon's Chet. Putting the Ramchal, that's like the least of it is the Onesh part. Like now there has to be Misa because there's physical, the world is more physical and the body has to break down and lose its physicality in the ground. And like everything is much deeper and more significant than we think. Okay. Now, we won't learn the Hakadoma, as he calls it, inside. Because... Why? I don't know. The Hakdama has nothing to do with the Sefer almost. The Hakdama, the Maral wrote a number of svarim about logic and how to think and how to analyze and how to put things in their proper categorization and making sure that everything fits and is where it belongs. He wrote books on logic. Svarim on logic. So he starts off the Sefer. And it's really, it's interesting that this is his introduction to the Sefer. He's not talking about why he wrote the Sefer, and he's not talking about justifying that people should be learning these esoteric ideas, and it doesn't even talk about the fundamentals of belief, of Emunah. He talks about, because the Sefer, if you open the Derech Hashem, I guess they weren't on sale yet. There's a cell time there, Hashem, the way of God, I think it's called, appropriately enough. Chaim Friedland, I think that's maybe the most common one now. If you go into a store and you just buy Derech Hashem in Hebrew, Chaim Friedland and the Tzal put out an edition, and they used a Ksav Yad they found in Italy or wherever they found it, and he wrote a Perish on the bottom, and the publisher put it on a Perish also. Reb Dovitz Cohn, Shliach of Hebron, just put out a Derech Hashem of his own. Rav Kurzna, Zatzal, if anybody knows if he's Rav Kurzna, he has a Svarim, and he wrote a Sefer on Derech Hashem. And online on Torah.org is a Rabbi Feldman, who's alive now, and wrote a translation and an explanation of Chol Tzal Vavos, also has classes online on Torah.org in Derech Hashem, and in Das Chunos also. His name is Feldman. We actually, Moshe Lichtenstein and myself and the shul were instrumental. It was out of print, the Chavis Alvogas that he wrote. And it was so out of print, because Aronson went belly up. It was published by Aronson Publishers. But it was so out of print that they couldn't even use, I don't know really what I'm saying, but they had to retype the whole thing. They couldn't even use the typesetting, even though it was done by computer. It was so outdated, they didn't even have a way to do it nowadays. So they retyped the whole thing, and then his early work, which I have, is just in English, and now we did it with Hebrew and English. Chavis Alvogas. They're not selling it here in Eretz Yisrael yet, but they're selling it in America already. And if you want to see a very nice haskama, you could read my haskama. He wanted me to write haskama, so I wrote haskama.
So I have this one where the translation is by Arya Kaplan.
The Feldheim one.
The Feldheim.
I don't know. Is that the Feldheim one? Has Ari Kaplan's translation?
Yeah.
Okay. Feldman, on the online classes, also uses Ari Kaplan's translation. But then he explains it and he elaborates. But he says, he calls Ari Kaplan his Rebbe online, and he says he's not going to give a different translation than Ari Kaplan. Okay, so the Hakadama, the introduction, talks about Lachta. So when you open the Sefer, as I said, there's four Chalokim to the Sefer. 1, 2, 3, 4. And each Chalek is split up into chapters. And each chapter is split up into paragraphs. And the paragraphs are numbered. So if you'll see something like the Derech Hashem says that when you blow shofar and this isn't happening, the notation will be 4, 3, 2. It's in I just made that up, but it's in section 4, chapter 3, paragraph 2. It's very, very, very structured and very, and each chapter is a specific idea with the protim of that idea. And I said each chelek is a general idea, each chapter is a specific idea about the general idea. And each paragraph is a specific idea about the specific idea of that chapter. It's amazing. And he writes in the Hakdam as follows. He says, and it's good to know this, and that's why I'll say it over, but we won't learn it inside, but if you get it there, Hashem, you'll see it in the Hakdam to the Sefer. He says, there's a world of difference to know something in a structured way than in a haphazard way. He says, if you have haphazard knowledge, even if you know a lot of things, so he compares it to a forest, a chaotic forest, and he compares structured knowledge to an orderly, symmetrical garden. He says, if you just learn a bunch of things, and you just memorize them, and they're not mesudar, where each one, what each one's function is, and how the whole relates to the part, and if something's a cause or an effect, and where it fits in, so you're just going to get all confused. At some point, you're going to shut down, because you're just going to absorb the knowledge. It's going to be just a mumble and jumble of facts, and you'll just get lost in the jungle of data. That's all you'll have. And if it's laid out in order, then he says, what's the klal and what's the prat? What's the cause and what's the effect? And let me see. Too many papers here. which my Baruch Hashem. Okay, I'll take the Sefer. This is a Chaim Friedel Anthos edition that he put out. So he says in the Hagdama, it's really beautiful, it's really so nice to read. If you just learn facts, you have no gishmak in it, and all you're doing is amassing facts, and you just end up getting a headache because you're memorizing facts and more facts and more facts. But you won't remember it, and you won't understand the part each one plays in the whole picture. A major part of something's identity, how it relates to the other things that it's relating to, and he doesn't get that, so he doesn't find satisfaction. He won't be happy. He won't feel a sense of joy or satisfaction in his knowledge. It'll just be a burden. He says, when you learn something, you have to see hakol v'hachelek, the whole and its parts, haklal v'haprat, generalities and specificities, hasiba v'hamasovev, cause and effect, hanose v'hamaschaver, all like a tree and its branches. And that's what you have to, so when you learn about something, you have to know if it's a generality, a specific idea, if it's a cause, if it's effect, and that's what he says, and that's what he does in the Sefer. Now that's the Hagdama. So Hagdama is sort of, he sets out, you know, now you're ready to learn the Sefer, but really, it's hard to say if that was his intention or not, but it also is good Musar, because the Sefer is, what am I? Where do I fit into the scheme of Klal Yisrael? Where do I fit into the scheme of Hashem's plan for the universe? So, I'm very small, I'm like a speck of dust in the universe, but when you get the picture, and then you see that everybody has a role to play, and because he structures it this way, so it also helps for the person. It's also, we are part of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael is part of the world, and this is what's supposed to be accomplished, and it's inspiring. It's inspiring, and if you get, it makes us, as I said in the beginning, it makes us feel more choshev. It makes us feel that what we do really matters. It's part of a plan, and we're contributing to that plan. It's like a worker in a company, a big corporation, and they're producing cars, but he understands he's not just putting in a rivet, he's creating a car, and this is what he's doing to create the car. So, ironically, maybe, I don't know if that's correct really, but sort of ironically, the Hakadomo, which teaches laws of logic and explains how the Sefer is structured, also, I think, is a big chizuk and says, you are now going to find your place in the universe, you're going to find your place in Avodas Hashem, you're going to realize where you fit in. Are you a cause or an effect? Are you the whole or are you a part? How do you relate to other? How do you relate to your friends? How do you relate to your family? How do you relate to the rest of the world who are goyim? How do you relate to non-from Jews? What are they doing? What is everybody doing in the grand scheme of things? So that's there in Hashem. Fast, who knows, by the way, deals with problems. As I said, deals with questions he had. Why does Hashem do this? Why does this make sense? Why does a kind and gracious and merciful God have this happen? And what is the point of when the Mashiach? And what is Mashiach going to do? And what about all the evil in the world? Why does evil exist? And that's really what Das Tfunos deals with. He doesn't give a short answer. He gives us the answer that becomes the entire Sefer of Das Tfunos, because he always goes back to the fundamental understanding, and it really is an elaboration. It ends up being an elaboration of, just like I said, Derech Hashem ends up being an elaboration of Perek Aleph of Mesillas Yesharim, which he's most famous for. I believe that Das Tfunos ends up being an elaboration of the Derech Hashem, because it deals with anomalies, of deals with problems. questions. Why is this? Why is that? How does this work out? Okay. Maybe we can start the first parrot. Yeah. So we'll skip that. I told you what was going to come about. And we'll start the parrot Rishon. Called Ishmi Israel. Every Jew, I don't know exactly why he says that. Really, it's every person. But the lady has to do this also. Sorech. This is very, very fundamental. That's part of his philosophy of logic, of thought. You have to go back to the basics, you have to go back to the beginning. He wants to make sure you have the whole structure from the bottom up. First you lay down the yesod, and then you build on that, and build on that, and build on that. And if you're shaky about the yesod, I know a man learning Gemara really faces this every day, that if you're shaky about the fundamental principle of the Gemara, you could sit there for hours learning, and it just, nothing hangs together. It just doesn't work out, because you never really established the basic fundamental principles. And in life, and in logic, and in everything we do, right? You want your marriage to be good, you have to say, okay, what's the fundamental principle of marriage? What is a marriage supposed to be? Why am I married? Why do people get married? What does Hashem want from us? And then you build on that. But if you just barrel into it, so then, and you don't really understand what it is, and what it's supposed to be, and why Hashem created that institution, and Hashem made a zohar and a keva, and then all of a sudden they're coming together, like, what happened here? And what is it supposed to be? So then, it's not going to work. The best way to do it, I'm not saying the only way, but certainly the best way to do it, and to have a fundamental understanding, and then you can deal with problems, because you're going back to the beginning and you're saying, well, this is the way it's supposed to be, right? This is the idea, and therefore where did we go wrong, where did we veer off? So he starts at very basic places, the very, very beginning. Kalishmi Yisrael, every Jew. Tzorech Sheyamin V'yeda, we'll talk about that in a second. That's really a believe and know. Right? There's a whole Eisek with Amunah. The Rambam in some places says believe, in other places the Rambam says to know. We'll talk about what those words mean. Don't accept words without knowing what they mean. Even if I say them, say, what does it mean to know? What does it mean to believe? But the Chinuch rejects. For example, the Chinuch rejects knowing. And he says it's impossible to know, you have to believe. But I'll tell you in a second what the Chinuch describes as believing. So you'll see it's very, very deep. It's not just a superficial, I believe. But the Ramchal is very famous, as is the Chovos Halevavos. And the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim are very insistent that the mitzvah, and really the Psukim, Torah indicate that this is something called knowledge, not just belief. But as the Ramchal says in the beginning of Das Tevunos, if you can't figure it out and it doesn't sit well and it just doesn't, it's not niklat into your rational mind, you don't get it, so then you have to fall back in belief. You're not free to reject. That's the danger of belief, is that it doesn't, maybe I should define the terms. Let's start with, knowledge means to work it out for yourself. Maybe with philosophy, with, it could be even rational knowledge. Let's say, and says that, and he has philosophical thoughts there about proving the existence of Hashem, that really is pretty foreign to us. It's Greek philosophy, it's ideas and principles and postulates and that the Greeks developed, and we're many centuries from that. It doesn't appeal to us anymore. And therefore, Chaim Salvovitz, in fact, already in his days, he's saying, you're going to get a headache from Shari Yichud. Not going to understand what it is, like the type of philosophical proofs. Hashem is one, because there were two, then it wouldn't be two, it would be one, there wouldn't be Hashem, there would be two Hashems, and it's like philosophical proofs. The Greeks did that, and we it's not wrong, but it doesn't work to the Western mind. The Western mind's too pragmatic. It just says, well, maybe not, you know. We just run everything off. I don't, you know, there's the ketchup. But Chavis HaGolos then says that Shar HaBechina is Yediyah for dummies. Meaning if Shar HaYichud gives you a headache, so go out and observe the universe. Observe, and he says, a fraction of the, and you see wisdom, you see planning, you see that there's a designer. It's impossible to deny it if you have any honesty. And that's called Yediyah. You worked it out for yourself. You see Hashem. You know that there's a Hashem. Emunah means you don't work these things out, which Chag HaLavas is against, just Emunah. But he says, you're mechuyev, absolutely, you have to do, it's not Shar HaYichud, you have to at least do Shar HaBechina, which is examining the universe and seeing Hashem in the structured, ordered universe, and it's immensely, infinitely easier now that we're holding 1,000 years after the Chag HaLavas was written. And we have a DNA molecule, right? And we have everything we can see the subatomic particles, and we see outer space, and we have physics and Einstein and everything. You see the ordered universe, you see Hashem. It's even easier than in the time of the Chayyus HaLavas, but Al Kaponim, that is also Yediyah. It doesn't have to be Shar HaYichud Yediyah, where you work it out philosophically. It could be the Yediyah, because you are rationally convinced that it's true, that there's a Hashem. That's Yediyah. Emunah says, and the Chinuch really says, don't bother. Because it's too dangerous, and someone will come along with a kasha that you can't answer, and then who knows what's going to happen to your emunah. And it's best to have the bedrock of belief and not to do yediyah. This is a machlokas. It's a machlokas. The psukim say v'yodata hayom. The psukim, the Chavir Lovus, has a whole slew of psukim in his hagdama that say you have to know, you have to work this out. Except, like, again, we always go back on what the Ramchal says in the beginning of Das Tuna. It says, 9 of the animamans I get, 4 I don't get, but I believe that they're true. And but then the rest of the Sefer goes on to rationally explain the other 4. The Chinuch describes, it's not a fool's belief. You know, we say, Emunah Pshuta. Emunah Pshuta is not at all Pashut. It's not a fool's Emunah, it's not superficial at all. The Chinuch describes the basic emunah as, because the Chinuch says the mitzvah to believe in Hashem has to be such a firm belief that you are totally convinced that it couldn't be otherwise. That's how far emunah has to take you. It's not like a blind belief and a superficial blind, and I believe, you know. It has to be, you believe that this is true, right? And it couldn't possibly be otherwise, right? I believe my wife is now sitting in my house making up the coming year's schedule. But it could be otherwise. She could have stopped out shopping, right? So I certainly don't know that she's there. I believe she's there, and I believe it very firmly, but I can't say I believe it in a way that it's not possible that it's otherwise. Because it is possible that it's otherwise. So, and the Chinuch's belief is based on that there were 3 million people by Har Sinai. Everybody in this room will say that they know through belief, not through knowledge, that there was a person called George Washington who existed. Everybody in this room believes that there's a George Washington. So it's fiction. It's a picture, huh? We don't have a picture of Hashem, that's the problem. He says there were 3 million people by Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, Yediyah was achieved. Hashem, everybody was raised to the level of Nevuah, like Moshe Rabbeinu. And it says there, Lashonos, Hashem opened up the heavens and opened up the earth, and they saw and perceived And that's V'yatat Hayom Hashivos Olod Rebbe Ki Hashem Hu Hu Alukim B'Shemayim Ma'a Walot Mitochas Einod. They saw Hashem Echad. That generation saw it and knew it because they saw it. They didn't even figure it out. They saw it and perceived it, and you see something. Huh? 3 million people. Now, how many people are in this room? If a door, if a generation, let's say, is 25 years, right? Good estimate. If a generation of 25 years, it's only around 140 people to transmit Matan Torah. In the shul, when there's a simcha in the shul, there's 140 people in the shul. That's all. From Matan Torah to us, do the math. What's 140 times 25? Come on. Somebody. How many years since Matan Torah? 3,000 or something?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's 140 times 25? 3,900?
35.
Okay. 140 people, and that's 25 years, which is really, I could say 50 years easily, because most people have seen their grandfather, right? Let's say 25 years, your kid grows up, gets married, and has a kid. That's what I'm calling a generation. And most people get to meet their grandfather. I never did, rather. But my sister did. My older sister met my grandfather. Most people sit by a Seder. Right now, because of the Holocaust, is very... But most people sat by a Seder with them, and they have their grandfather there. So you have 70 people, let's say 80 people, between Matan Torah and us. That's not a lot of people. That fills a room, and it's crowded in the room. So 3 million people, and there's never any report of any year that there wasn't a Pesach. They didn't celebrate Sukkot, they didn't celebrate Shavuos, they didn't, there was never a, every generation gave over. And so the Chinuch says, but that's only belief. See, that's still belief. We don't know. If I know that I would express that I know that there was a George Washington, but I didn't work it out that I logically that had to be a person. That's absurd. That's why it's called belief. I didn't rationally work it out that there was a person called George Washington. So that's why it's called belief. And rather, George, I think most people would say, I believe that there was a person, George Washington, and it couldn't have been otherwise. Just too many people know about him, and it's in the books, and the whole America is based on that there was a person, George Washington, and where would his horse be if there wouldn't be a George Washington? There wouldn't be a thing called George Washington's horse. And who the heck is on a nickel? Buffalo Bill, actually. Some Indian is there. But who's on a dollar bill? Who's that guy? So that's what the Chinuch says. So it's belief. Don't try to figure it out rationally and work out that there has to be a Hashem. That's called Yediyah. Now, Rav Tal says you have to do both. And that's what he says in Das Tfunos. I have a Yediyah about 9 of the 13 Animamins, but I don't have Yediyah about the 4, although I believe that they're true. But the Chinuch describes the belief that you're mechuyev to have, lest you think that it's superficial. I want to remind you, it's very important. The Chinuch describes a belief that we're mechuyev to have, not even knowledge, not rational knowledge, but belief as it couldn't possibly be otherwise. Because of 3 million people, and now I'm describing that it's not that many links in the chain. It's 70, 80 links in the chain to 3 million people. So that can, so you say, but if you want to be cynical and you just want to say, yeah, but maybe not, but maybe not, but maybe not. So you could. You just keep saying that. But we accept everything else on far, far less of a belief. And Al Kaponim the Ramchal holds Sarah Sheyam and Vieda, and I say the Chavis Al Vavos would say to know it, I see Hashem. If you study a leaf, read Avigdor Miller's Sfarim, you study a leaf, you see Hashem. You study anything, you see Hashem. And you learn the Chavis Al Vavos Shara Bechina, and with so much more You study how blood clots, eyelashes, anything has just oodles and oodles of chokmah, of wisdom, of planning, of purpose, of exactness, of how everything fits in and everything works, the rain cycle, how plants grow. It's just how your body digests food and breaks down food into sugar and starch and vitamin B and vitamin, all this stuff. It's miracles. So the Chazal says that is called Yediyah, because that's seeing Hashem. So it's too hard for us, Shara Yichud. And it doesn't speak to people nowadays, the philosophical proofs, but the proofs of Shara Bechina does, and that's called Yediyah. Emuna, says the Chinuch, comes from the generation of Har Sinai, 3 million people. Everybody gave it over to their children. I'm pointing out, ain't that many links in the chain. And they saw Hashem. They reached the Madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu. For that instant of Matan Torah, I think he says like Moshe Rabbeinu the Chinuch, I'm not 100% sure. But they perceived Hashem. They opened up the skies. They heard Hashem talking to them. And they experienced Hashem. So if you experience something, you know that it's so. So Sora Shayaman Vyeda Shayesham Motsui Rishon, this is the description of Hashem. We have no way of describing him really, so we say he exists, he was the first Kadmon, he always existed, he was the first thing to exist, and he is the cause of all of existence, to which I will add even existence itself, he is the cause of. He created existence. V'hu shehimtzi umamtzi, which is very important, because this means Hashem didn't go to sleep after he created the world. He is constantly involved in the world and everything that happens in it. That's what we call hashgacha. V'hu shehimtzi umamtzi, he is making to exist kol ma shenimtza b'mitzius. There is a power out there. This is the mitzvah of emuna, and every Jew is mechuyev to believe and to try to get to know, according to the Ramchal, that there is a power that is responsible for everything's creation. Nothing, he's not tied to anything. He exists. He is. And he created everything, and that's what we're mechuyev to know. That's your basic bottom line, ground level mitzvah, to know that. I'm talking to the wisest Kalishmi Yisrael. Doesn't a guy have to believe this too? Okay.
Good
question. If everybody
can
take
one statement, then we can finish it.
I'll get too excited this
evening.
There won't be that many people.
By the way, we're continuing on Wednesday.
Why is the Chinuch the proof not? Why is the Chinuch not Yediyah? Because it's the proof that children and parents would not lie to their children. So that in itself is a rational.
He doesn't think that that's a rational. It's not a rational proof. It's a belief. It's not a rational proof. Rational proof means a mathematical proof.
I always thought that the Ramban used that as a proof of.